From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
Ottawa's annual Winterlude Festival ended last weekend for another year, the final week giving us consistent temperatures of around 17 below. There was not a single brass monkey to be found walking the streets of the capital, and why would there be? They'd literally freeze their wutses off, which is no fun at all. Winterlude, however, has been a big deal for a long time, but by the time we moved to Ottawa full-time, I was getting too old and crippled up with a bad back to even consider giving it a decent go. On the final weekend, when it warmed up Saturday to -5, my daughter and her husband came down from 45 minutes away with our two granddaughters, 1-4 and 1-2, and rented a room in a nice hotel that had a pool and was close enough to the Rideau Canal skating rink to be able to walk to and from. How smart are they? The kids had a riot, of course, ate sugary things like beaver tails, and were as warm as a bug in the rug and all bundled up in a rented sleigh that their parents pushed along the canal, all planned out in advance. On Sunday, we took them all out to brunch at a nearby pub that treats the young ones like princesses. Once in their car heading home, we gave them 5 minutes before they were fast asleep and dead to the world. It's the best kind of sleep, isn't it? The kind where you wear yourself down having fun and then collapse in blissful fatigue. It's been a while to me since I've had that bliss, and it usually came at the end of a long day of snowmobiling and some days of a long weekend on the trails and a log fire in the lodge. Right now I'm living through our grandkids as it should be. If we're lucky, this is what should happen to all of us. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back, and thank you, Mark. Outdoor Journal Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Derek Brandeo and Andrew Holland on the board today. New member, maybe latest member of the team. I don't know. Who knows? We're not sure.
Let's find out.
We'll find out.
Next week.
Exactly.
If he's on next week, he means he's...
Show and tell, baby. That's what I like about this program. Hey, folks, before I get on with the show, I just want to remind everybody, I mentioned it briefly on the other side of that break about the Toronto Spring Camping and RV Show and Sale. Well, it's quickly approaching. It is the largest RV show sale in Canada. Now, I dare say if it's the largest in Canada, it's probably going to be the largest in the world. I'm going to go with that one because, ooh, you know, and here's my thinking on that. Here's my thinking on that. We're what, the second or third largest landmass in the world? As a country?
I think it's third. I'm not quite sure.
Well, we're up there. We're in the top three or four.
Around there.
Okay. So my odds are pretty good in thinking. You know, RVs, travel, distances, you know, miles, kilometers, vast wilderness areas. I'm just taking a shot at this, but I'm just going to make the assumption that the RV industry is much more robust in this country than most of the other countries. Yeah. Therefore, I'm going to go on a limb. If the Toronto Spring Camping and RV Show and Sale is the largest in Canada, it's going to be one of the largest in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Mark it down. It's done. It's been said. Come and get your best deals on the latest models from tent trailers all the way up to those beautiful, luxurious Class A motorhomes.
My dream home right there.
My God. Some of them are just mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah. Double floors.
I'd love to do the show. I'd love it if somebody, maybe we can get a sugar daddy or something, if they could get us one. I don't even have to own it. If we could just get one and then refit it to be a portable outdoor journal, a mobile studio.
Oh, that's cool.
And every Saturday we could move it to a different locale.
I like that idea.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Make it happen.
I'll try to find that daddy you're talking about.
Yeah, a Class A motorhome. My dream. Anyways, go to the show this year and shop for parts and camping accessories in the 11,000, not 10,000, 11,000 square foot superstore. You can also book your next adventure destination. Attend daily RV lifestyle seminars. I was at one of them last year, and I got to tell you, there's some pretty interesting stuff happening in that industry that most of us are not aware of. These seminars are absolutely great. And every day they've got a draw Do you think they copied us on this, like with the Merck giveaway? Maybe they're thinking. I'm just saying. Anyways, every day they have a draw to win a 7-day motorhome dream vacation. Not every day. Enter a draw to win.
Yeah.
I made it every day. We have a draw every day on fishingcanada.com. This one is a big draw that where you somebody is going to win a 7-day motorhome dream vacation of a lifetime. And it's all happening between February 27th to March 1st at the International Center. That's the BigRVShow.ca, the BigRVShow.ca for more information, and also where you can actually buy your tickets.
Yes.
Coming up, starting Thursday. Yes, time for a roving reporter. Well, he's not roving too much. I'm sure he's anchored to a nice little chair on the beach somewhere right now in the southern part of Texas on the coast. Our in-house safety expert, his name is Bradley Schlorf. Good morning, Brad.
Second.
I'm sorry?
Second.
Second.
So Canada's okay. The second largest country in the world.
Oh,
but
thank
we have
you.
The most, and okay. By a long shot, numbers of square kilometers of water surface.
See?
I love when Brad does that. He just yells out,
but
two!
But you know what's amazing? He's on vacation and he can do that. Like, I understand it when he's hard at work at his desk doing all the research, but he's on vacation.
That's true.
He's on one of those launchers. You know those old rickety launchers you pull open and a couple of the webbing pieces are broken? He's sitting on one of those right now as we speak on the beach.
And just yelling second out loud.
Exactly.
Second.
Oh, you're the best, buddy.
You completely lost me at that hard at work thing.
That was it, eh? That's what we knew.
It was a set
script.
So, we'll talk a little bit about some of this technical stuff, like looking around at bars and buttons and tool things and whatnot on websites. So, Stephen, where's the bar and button and tool thing on websites where I can listen to the whole last week's show?
You press radio.
Well, I know where radio is, but where do I listen to this whole show so I can hear how badly I messed up when I slept in last week?
It's separated in different segments. So you just click on radio and it says, Brad Schlorf talks about second. And you click play and you can listen to your lovely voice.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm going to struggle with some more buttons then.
I'll give you a call on Monday to help you out. I'll hold your hand.
Okay.
I assume you slept in because you had a hard day fishing the day before.
No, I slept in because I forgot what day it was. I don't sleep in anyway. Oh. Like, I wake up at 10 after 5 every morning, so I don't bother with alarm clocks very often or anything. And I wake up, and it's 25 after 7 our time down here, which is late. So I missed you. I'm sorry.
That's all right, brother. How are things going down there?
Things are going good. And you know, I'm getting some very good data and information back from the Crack Research Department that's not in Huntsville up there. Brian Adkin was out a couple times with hails, said they did good. He took a great advantage of the teacher strike. And Brian's wife is a retired teacher, so I don't want to push that too hard, and so is mine. But he got to take his grandson out because he wasn't in school. So they went out to hails and had a good time perch fishing.
There you go. There's something positive of these strikes then.
There is. pressure crack.
I was going to say, talk to me about the ice conditions. What are you hearing?
So, a couple things. First of all, there was a snowmobile fatality in Orillia. A couple of fellows drove right into the open water at Atherley. That's always open. In fact, it's a place with phenomenal perch fishing. So good that sometimes in the dead of winter, you'll see people have put a tin boat in there, paddled out and fished in the open water that's always there.
Okay. And somebody drove into it?
Apparently.
Oh, my God.
4:30 in the morning. So, there's some attribution. I don't know if that's really a word or not, but sort of getting blamed. Is that attribution? Anyway, they may have been driving too fast for their headlights, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, that's one of the inherent problems with a snowmobile is that the faster you can go, you're going faster than what you can see in front of you.
Brad, fishing notwithstanding, because obviously that would be the easy answer, why do folks ride lakes with their snowmobiles when we have so many beautifully groomed trails available?
Well, aside from fishing, it's a lot of times the access across the lakes is better, it's faster. If it's done right, it's usually very safe. Like where the trails cross major bodies of water, they're staked, you stay between the stakes. Like everything else, you have to know your local conditions. So there are some places, like that particular geography, that's always open. Just stay away from it. And the trails, I understand, are in kind of marginal shape in a lot of places, too, right now. So, you know, if you got to get your snowmobile fix on, maybe part of the answer is the lake. But it's got to be done safely, and things like a floater suit are essential.
I'm going to assume that whenever... the groomed trails, the official trails, do cross a lake. I'm going to make this assumption, anyways. That somebody from the association is monitoring it constantly to make sure that it's safe.
Someone from the OFSC is monitoring all of their trails. Volunteers, remember, this is all volunteer done, but they're monitoring their trails every inch of them all the time. So when there's a trail crosses a significant enough body of water, part of the trail that goes from A to B on that water is marked. It's groomed so that, you know, you can be pretty confident if you go across where a groomer's been able to cross a body of water that your snowmobile will be able to do it to.
Just got a message just sent in. Somebody saying, hey, yeah, well, don't forget, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. Basically, the gist of this is that one of the reasons that people will go through a lake as opposed to around the outskirts or the shoreline of the lake is that there are other obstacles there that may be a problem, such as docks and that kind of thing. So, in other words, the shoreline might be just as dangerous.
It's and impassable because, you know, think about our typical shield lake, like it's a kind of a big cliff at the side of it or, you know, almost impenetrable trees or further in the south. It's ringed with cottages. So, you know, you can't be driving across everybody's yard to get from A to B. The person's exactly right.
Yeah. So, you know what? Common sense, regardless of where you're going to run these things, just common sense. And local knowledge always helps, you know, finding out from the locals what's what. That's the key.
Well, you're right. If you go on an adventure somewhere where you haven't snowmobiled before, you're pretty much 100% guaranteed to be safe if you stay on the marked trail. So don't wait. When you haven't been someplace before, don't go venturing off into the tules to see what it's like.
Yeah, and you mentioned about overriding your light and the ability to see. Obviously, that's also an issue if you are out at night. Make sure you run these things at a speed that you can handle.
Exactly. And again, be prepared, like a flotation suit, riding with a buddy, like having other people with you. That's always just common sense, smart ideas.
Yep. All right, what's in store for you this week, my friend?
Well, first in store is I got to keep listening to the show because I got to do another sing-out for Ontario Parks. They open up a bunch more interior campsites this year for the reservation system, and that's a marvelous thing.
Perfect. Yeah, we're going to be talking to somebody a little later on, actually.
I heard that. That's why I was being sort of ahead of the curve here, paying attention. I'm trying to make up for last night.
Yeah, okay. You keep trying, buddy. Keep trying. You have yourself a wonderful time down there in Texas. Stay safe and give us a report next week on the fishing, will you?
It's a deal.
Our in-house safety expert, Brad Schlorf, retired staff sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police, now our roving reporter for Outdoor Journal Radio.